This is Tracy. Today, join me as I walk on eggshells and explain a little bit more about that to you. I'm broadcasting live from Rocky Mountain National Park. And if you're listening to a podcast, you should really go check it out on YouTube because it's so beautiful. But let's get started. Hi, everybody. It's Tracy. Today, I am here at Rocky Mountain National Park because I want to teach you what it feels like to walk on eggshells. And I have actually never walked on eggshells. I have 5 dozen eggshells on the ground here, and there's a whole bunch of chipmunks you might see scurrying around. We're gonna go and I'm gonna actually step on those things. So here we go. Ready? All right. What does it feel like to walk on eggshells? Really crunchy? Kind of like a potato chip? A little bit pointy and not as painful as I thought, but when someone is walking on eggshells in a relationship, what that means is that you don't trust what's going to happen next. You don't know that your next step isn't going to upset the abuser. You don't know if they're going to be angry with you. You don't know if they're going to call you names or gaslight you. And a victim becomes quite trapped in that surreal kind of a life that you're literally walking on eggshells. Wee, wee, wee. And it's hard to imagine, if you've never been in an abusive relationship like this, that just saying the wrong thing at the wrong time can piss off the abuser. Saying things that a normal relationship, a normal person would be able to communicate with you, but when they have trained you by their reactions, then you end up in a situation where you became afraid to say what you're thinking because you expect what they've given you so far, and that is making you feel like you can't trust yourself. You can't feel like you're safe to say, I don't like that, or, you know, I would really like you to empty the dishwasher more. If they're always going to be attacking you, you become afraid, so you start to do the dishwasher. You start to do the things simply because you don't know what their reaction is. If you're with someone who gets really angry all the time, that's what can happen when you just ask a simple favor. They can name call you or bring up memories that are in a gaslighting way, right? If you can remember things that you have been gaslighted with, I'm going to go to another location and we're going to share a gaslighting story. And first I got to clean up all the eggshells on the ground. So I'll be right back. Okay, so here's my gaslighting story. Gaslighting means that someone is trying to make you think that you're crazy by denying the truth about a story. So what happens is that we believe it one way and they're trying to convince us that the way that they're perceiving it or explaining it is the real way. And when they do something like that, it makes us feel like really confused because you start to lose sight of the reality of what the story is. So my example that I've thought of today is when I first married my ex-husband, he had a lot of American Express points, and we had just bought a house, so he decided that he would turn them all in for $1,200 worth of Home Depot dollars. And they arrived in the mail, Federal Express, to him, and they sat next to his bed in that FedEx envelope for a really long time until they weren't there. And he kept accusing me of doing something to misplace them, doing something that I had done. I had put them somewhere, I had filed them, I had organized them, and they were missing. And for almost 10 years of our marriage, anytime we would pass that Home Depot or any Home Depot, he would bring up the fact that I lost the Home Depot dollars. And I am the organized one. I would have been someone that would have put them somewhere safe. He's the one that's so unorganized that he would leave them next to his bed with newspapers and eventually throw them out. But the brainwashing part of that was to call me names, that I was unorganized and that I was stupid, that I couldn't remember where they were. And yet the reality was, I know for a fact that I didn't touch those Home Depot dollars. And so after a while, I just gave up. I gave up thinking that I knew I was right. And I started to believe his story that maybe I did touch them. I questioned myself, and I know that you've had this experience too, where you start to wonder, am I the narcissist? Did I really do that? And so as you explore something in your life that is a thing that doesn't add up, 1 + 1 = 2, but if 1 + 2, your story is the 1 and their story is the 2, it's never going to equal 2. You've got a 3-pack there, right? So look at that story. Look at some example of something that they completely told you was something that you know wasn't true. So as you unpeel the layers to understand what gaslighting is, I want you to look at the feelings that you feel and what you felt. For me, when I would be accused for 10 years of losing the Home Depot dollars and his entire life savings of American Express points to get those, that somehow I was responsible for it. And I took that on because it just became easier than arguing or trying to make my point, because it could always be squashed right out there in front of me. And I didn't ever say I admitted, I didn't say I did it. I just stopped trying. I stopped trying to validate myself, explain it. It just seemed like that was his story that he was gonna keep telling the world about those damn Home Depot dollars and how I had lost them. That's a small example. There's much more severe ones. And if you can look into your experience and start to see things that didn't add up, things that you believed were one way and they said it was another way. And then when you start to, you know, stand up for yourself, if they call you names like stupid or disorganized or whatever applies to, you know, whatever your situation is, that's when they're trying to whittle you down. But by name calling and accusing you of things that you didn't do, you do lose sight of reality. Was it real? Did it happen? And after a while, you just give up. So you're walking on eggshells. You're afraid that they're going to explode. You're afraid they're going to get upset. You're afraid of their reaction, no matter what the gaslighting incident is. So that's what walking on eggshells is like. And it hurts, and it feels really, really sad to experience this. And I want you to look at, what emotions did you feel when you were being accused of something that you didn't do? How do you remember feeling that? Because in unpeeling that layer of what happened, you're actually tapping into feelings that have been hidden. The feelings are just buried inside of you. And when you bring this stuff up to the surface to really explore what it was that happened, by looking at the feeling part of it, that's how you'll know next time when things don't add up, your intuition's going knock knock, but then that's that feeling that I want you to tap into. That's what I want you to understand and see, that, you know, this is how I felt, and if I feel that again, then I'll know that I should pay more attention to it. I should understand it and evaluate it. So we're gonna go to another location, and I'm gonna talk about something else. See you in a few. Okay, so we're in another location, and we're going to talk a little bit more about walking on those eggshells, because I think in order to understand some of the things that made us feel this way, I know examples help us. And so if someone is constantly not there for you, They are not emptying that dishwasher. They are not taking out the garbage. They are not doing what you expect them to do in a relationship. And you ask them and you get attacked, or you get, you know, called names, or they are passive aggressive. So, you know, if you do something and they're just like, fine, I'll do it, but bleh, you know, it's that negative feeling. There's such a thorn under this tree, ouch. There's this negative feeling that gets associated with you asking for what you are entitled to ask for. If you need someone to help you take out the garbage or empty the dishwasher, then they should not be being passive aggressive to you, and they should not be calling you names, and they should not be ignoring you. And if someone does those three things, you could set a boundary. You could say, I want you to take out the garbage and I need it taken out by 7 o'clock tonight. And that's giving them sort of an opportunity to know that it has to be done, and yet you've set the boundary. This is what I need done, and I need it by this time. Because remember, if we ask them, okay, right now you're watching the game, I need you to empty the dishwasher, it's really easy for you to become the queen bitch, always demanding of their time. But when you can set a boundary and you can set a time period of I want this done, I need this done, and then they aren't, you know, giving back to you, you end up walking around your own house afraid to ask for anything. You end up taking out that garbage yourself. If you're like me, that would be me doing it. People pleaser, I would certainly empty the dishwasher and do all of the things I asked the other person to do. But what that's doing is that's not helping you, and it's letting them see that they can get away with it. They just don't have to do it, and eventually she'll do it. So that's where we become the enabler. And so when you feel that you're not getting listened to, and you feel that people are kind of abusing how they treat you, you might find yourself walking on those eggshells. And the best thing for you to do is to stand up for yourself, say something, make a demand, and make a condition, make a boundary. Because when you do that, you empower yourself. So I think that's what we're gonna do about eggshells today. I am in this lovely park and it is my birthday, so I am gonna go and have fun with my friend who's holding the camera right now. So thanks everybody, and glad I got to walk on eggshells today, and they didn't even hurt my feet. Thanks, bye.